Welcome to HeatCast, the official podcast of Heat Changed It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am so excited to be here and to talk about the world of men's mental wellness in all of the facets and pathways that we explore in that topic. Obviously, we are the official podcast of Heat Changed It. If you haven't downloaded the Heat Changed It app, what are you waiting for? It has never looked better. Things are happening behind the scenes. I know I'm a broken record when it comes to that, but it's just really exciting to watch this thing grow. And at the end of the day, you know, He Changed It is the first men's mental wellness platform that has been created. And we're incredibly proud of what's been happening and what is going to happen. Now, we have been in partnership for some special episodes of HeatCast with a company called TELUS. For the Canadians, you know what TELUS is. For other people around the world, you might not necessarily know who they are. TELUS is a massive, massive communications company in Canada, cell phone provider, broadcast television provider, massive internet provider. And we went into and did a very cool program with TELUS. The result was five amazing episodes of HeatCast, which we are now going to put out on our platform here. The episodes are with a band. The band is called Proper Man. And Proper Man is a local band from Kelowna, British Columbia. And all five members have a story. The entire band has a story. And so as a narrative, all five episodes tie in together, kind of like Voltron, you know, a whole bunch of robots coming together to make one super robot, kind of like that. Each episode is amazing. And I'm so proud of the work that we have done. I'm so proud to be friends with these guys. And it's a pretty special story. So without further ado, HeatCast, the official podcast of He Changed It, would like to present Proper Man, the HeatCast Conversations. Welcome to HeatCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. This episode is a lot of fun to create an introduction for because Jason Parks, in many respects, he is the backbone of Proper Man. He just is. He is a very successful businessman here in Kelowna, owns wineries and other projects. But he's also an artist. And I love that Jason has found a way to take the idea of commerce and the idea of art and put them together. He is a winemaker, but with visions of building really cool stuff. And he has built really cool stuff. Of his wineries, one of which is Crown and Thieves. Crown and Thieves, of course, downstairs has a speakeasy. The speakeasy is called the Broken Hearts Club. It is an unbelievable room. And that room, of course, houses Proper Man. They literally have a house. They're the house band for this amazing speakeasy. And Jason, the thing I love about Jason is that he is unabashedly imperfect. And that's what he says. You know, he's the first person to do self-deprecation and downplay much of the success that has come from these visions that he has had. And I just appreciate him so much because, you know, it takes guys like that to make this world run. It just does. But at the same time, the humbleness that he has is unbelievable. I appreciate Jason Parks so much, the lead singer and the really the backbone behind Proper Man, the guy who has driven the bus works so seamlessly with these other four guys. Jason Parks is a special dude, and it is an incredible privilege to present the HeatCast Conversations with Proper Man, lead singer, founder, Jason Parks. I'm not nervous for this one. I'm excited for this one. This is awesome. I'm so glad that we've been able to pin you down and actually get you here to have a conversation.
And I was late.
Oh, no, that part. I'm saying because the life that you lead is such that it is difficult to pin you down.
Right.
The staff have used the term Parks time a couple of times that I've heard in our interactions and our getting to know each other. I've heard Parks time a couple of times. You got a lot of stuff going on, Jason.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Personally.
professionally, and all of those things mixed together, family as well, of course, but you've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Can we go through kind of the list right now of some of the things that you have?
Yeah.
So, okay, winemaker.
Winemaker, but I don't want to, that's the most romantic word for me, but definitely have been a winemaker.
Okay.
I'm a winemaker.
And that's what started this.
But the last few years, I have a team of people that worked with me from the beginning that are taking over that duty that are, I proudly say they're better than me at winemaking now. So I'm not in the cellar every day. My goal was to build shit stuff, sorry, and get back into the cellar and have red hands again. But I don't know if I'll get there.
Like this year or just at some point in your life?
In my life, it was always to build cool stuff that was everyone could be proud of them. And then I go hide in the cellar with the barrels again. And I don't know if my path is going to take me back there. I hope it will in some way.
Yeah.
But I bit off more than I can chew on most days. So.
Well, building cool stuff, I mean, this gets to the other half dozen big things that you're doing or so. Okay, so, but you love the winemaking and you still, that's still a...
It's savior. It's a story there,
Well, and I kind of want to get to that. I want to get to the to how that started because that's kind of a, for lack of a better term, organic.
Yeah.
Really, really cool organic way that you got into that.
Yeah.
I love that part of your story too. I mean, you have so many layers that we could go with when it comes to this. Obviously, Proper Man is where we're taking this particular project, but there's so many other dimensions to what it is that you have done. But let's just, okay, so the winemaker thing, that's a passion. Maybe we get to that in this one, maybe we don't, but then you started building cool stuff. And by building cool stuff, many different aspects of that, businesses included.
Yeah.
So let's start with the businesses, because how many wineries do you have now?
That I work with and have, and I want it to be known, I'm not like some big pocketed wallet rich guy. I'm involved with them, and I have pieces that I own a little bit and stuff like that. But there's some support there, so I don't want people to think that I'm this.
Okay, what's the brand? The brand is Jason Parks Customs.
The brand is Jason Parks Customs. But where it did start out in was the brand was called Cellar Ham Wines when I was by myself. So not to get too far into the winemaking thing, but what led me to here was making wine, but then helping people develop brands and ideas, helping people achieve their own dreams. So I called it Cellar Hand. It's a name for a helper in the cellar, but in my world, it was a way of giving people a hand to make their dreams and to build brands and stuff. So that's where it all started conceptually. It was me just, you know, making $15 an hour and making wine, but say, hey, I got a brand idea for you and try this and maybe the cellar should look like this. And don't, I got involved in that very early and helped a lot of wineries that are existing today start up when I was younger in my career.
Have you, I mean, growing up in Kitimat, was helping people something that was you were just born with? That's a gift or that's a passion you've always just had?
Yeah, a passion for sure. Like I never knew, I wasn't that good in school. I was a dreamer musician for sure.
Yeah.
I thought for sure I was going to be a rock star. 100% believed it. So I didn't learn very well. And my backup plan when I was younger was to work with disabled kids. It was always things like that that my heart went to where I'd be comfortable, where I felt I had value.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in a way. But then I learned through the years that that's just also, I think helping people, you're helping yourself just as much. So it's not like I sit there going that I want to help people do stuff and go, you're such a nice guy. Because there's something that's giving me that I'm grateful that I have that opportunity for.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way street.
I'm a big fan of David Letterman. And one of the things that he has said is people have talked to him about giving and helping other people and whatnot. And he has... many times, much like yourself, trying to compliment you, it's trying to like hold a slippery fish. It's really tough to do that with some of these people. Letterman's one of them. And people have said that to him about being generous or helping people, helping hand, that what you're talking about here. And he just brushes it off and goes, it's a selfish pursuit. It's selfish because it makes you feel so darn good when you help somebody.
Yeah.
And it is literally a secret to life.
Yeah.
If you can show somebody on a small level, on a big level, like a dream coming true level, if you can be an usher of something like that, there is no better feeling than that.
No, it's massive. Yeah, it's a huge thing.
But it's not selfish.
No.
It makes the world a better place.
I know.
Okay.
I know. But in my mind, I have to look at it like you can't, I don't know how to say it. You don't ever want to sit there and look at yourself and think, well, look what I've done for that person.
Right.
It's like, what are we doing together as people? Because if I'm giving that thing over and I'm driving home back in the day in my old Datsun beat up car and I showed someone a wine and came up with a name and they started to get teary eyed. Well, I'm bawling my eyes out on the way home because they gave me that feeling, right? So I got very addicted to that and wanted to do that. And it's not a, I'm not saying it because, again, to be like some good person. It's just
nobody's
what
ever gonna
I was
accuse
really
you of bragging,
into.
Jason. It's okay.
it's just what I was into. It was really enjoyable. It felt really good.
Yeah.
It's just like I like to write songs because I want to make people feel something. It's coming from the same spot. But yeah, it's the most egotistical thing you can do is get on that stage in my tie and look at me and I'm going to sing to you. But I love it when I look out and someone's got some teary eyes. That's what it's all about. Right?
Yes. Well, the emotional response that comes from music, I've said it many times. I think of some of the best. I'm literally covered in goosebumps right now because I think I was about to say I think of some of the best concerts I've ever been to in my life that I'm thinking about 20 years later.
Yeah,
and it literally is the same thing to me as a religious experience.
Yes, yeah.
It
can be almost out of body, right?
Very much.
You're floating.
So.
There's a thing about it, and if you can make somebody feel that, then you're very fortunate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and it's a give and take, and other members of the band. At this point, you haven't seen any of the other interviews. None of you have seen each other's interviews at all.
Yeah.
But it's come up a few times where the give and take, the being on stage feels so good, but then you give it back to the audience. And you see how good it makes the audience feel, and how almost symbiotic that experience is.
Yeah. It's a cool thing.
You know, and you've always had music. You've had your foot in the pool, sometimes deeper than others. Because as you're building this cool stuff that you're building, you know, it must be really, really tough to find the balance.
Yeah.
To do that, because your businesses and the businesses that you are a part of. Let's talk about Jason Parks Customs for a second.
Yeah.
What are the subsidiaries of Jason Parks Customs? What are the brands inside of that? What does that encompass?
Okay, the Hatch is the number one where we...
So that's a winery?
Yeah,
that's your first winery.
That was the first one that we tried the stupid idea at. It should have been called the incubator because all these things came out of the Hatch. So, and after the Hatch, we went over and we did Black Swift, which started at the Hatch as the egg is representing the hatching. We've got Crown and Thieves, which was an idea for a long time and the one that I thought had the most potential to fail. So I did it on my own existing property to make sure that, you know, if I was going to screw something up, it would affect me the most personally.
And that's where we are right now, by the way. That's where the Broken Hearts Club is.
Yeah.
It's at the bottom of...
That's why it's called the Broken Hearts Club, because I was all going to go to shit. Sit down here crying along with my drink because it's going to go nowhere. We got Truck 59, which is just... over there.
That's a cidery.
Yeah, we got that. That's where you park to come to Crown. And we recently thought we could try something with smoked meat and beer at the Hatching Post.
And that's the saloon that you opened. You literally opened a saloon.
Yeah, we built it and and tried to replicate that type of energy and visual,
My wife's prediction, and I don't think it's a, you know, her prediction for you is that a distillery is next, and there's going to be your own spirits inside that saloon.
You
is
said
she
spirits?
Yes.
There's a spot that we have, and we call it Ghost Notes, because if we do a distillery, it'll be called that. My son helped me with that idea.
There we go.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if I want to do a distillery. I want to go to Mexico and have tacos. I'm getting tired. Distillery to do it right. Like, that's the one thing. Like, you look at these places and they look like, I don't say gimmicky, but they can be like, I've had some hurtful things. I've heard some hurtful words about we're trying to do all these things because it's not about the wine or it's not about the beer or the product. When really, if they knew how much love and attention went into that. But if you're going to do spirits right, where I'm going with it, you need time. And where I'm at right now in my life, I think it could be something that we do, but I want to be careful if it's done. We got to do it very, very, very well.
Yes.
And pay respect to that product. And I don't know, like, because I, you know, whiskeys and stuff like that, I take a bit of time.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that will ever happen, but it's been talked about a bit. Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Ghost Notes.
Ghost Notes. Oh, what a
so,
great name.
Can I talk about it?
Yes.
So Ghost, obviously it's a musical thing.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Justin does a lot of ghost notes.
Flavor from the, this has notes of.
Yeah, and there's notes. There's that. But absolutely. What I wanted to do is, it's something, ghost is something that you may not see or is a past or present thing. So all of the aging and the things that we'd be putting into the products of the spirits would be coming from past. So it could be an old barrel that is from a wine from 2000. You got notes of that, and the ghost of that is in that spirit.
I have goosebumps right now.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool idea. Yeah, and because the idea is cool, that's why I'm not writing it off. When you have an idea that just fits and it's got something special, yeah. It's not that I really want to make whiskey. There's lots you can buy in the store. But the idea is good and might give someone a cool experience. But I like the branding idea of it for sure. It could be cool.
So this is the part where I got to say, okay, so there's this part of you as well that loves to create. Clearly an artist. I mean, we're talking about Proper Man with the music and whatnot. We're going to talk lots about that. But these businesses you've created, I mean, like, again, I know it's not braggadocious. It's not ego-driven. I'm just curious because you didn't come from an entrepreneurial background and money and all this stuff. You came from a small town in northern BC.
Yeah.
And yet you are this entrepreneur that has how many employees do you have?
In the summertime, there's probably 150
people working for you. Because I'm going to say it because I know you probably won't. I know how much you care about these people that work for you.
Yeah.
I know that you want to make their make their lives better, whether they're with you for a season, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Or people who have like linked arms with you and are like, and you have those too. You have people who have the vision of what you're doing and wanted to follow and be part of this.
That part of my little journey has been the most where I suck the most. I sincerely do care about everybody, but I've done not a very good job of always making sure that everyone could feel it because there is so many people or people don't get it. It's a weird company in that way because I am this, it's not ran like, I have a guy helping me. I call him my smart guy. His name's Graham. He's really smart. Because the way that I kind of run it, it is about culture. It is about caring. It is about growing people. Like, I got an opportunity, and I always want to do that. Because, again, it's the helping thing, which, as Dave Letterman says, it's selfish
it's
as well.
It's a selfish pursuit.
And I've tried to do that. And I've there's some great stories. There's some great successes. But I've got my failures, too. And I'm still learning on how to manage myself, on how to grow somebody. Because sometimes growing somebody doesn't mean that I'm sitting there having a coffee with them every day.
Right.
It could be doing it in a way that doesn't help them grow in the company that I'm running and they don't like me anymore. But the lesson they took will help them later. And that has been hard. That's been hard.
That's parenting. That's friendship. That's, my best friends that I've had in my life are the ones who are, you know, that's, I mean, take down to love. If you truly love somebody, you let them go if they come back there. Like, you know, that's a really pure intention that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And pure intentions many times don't end up.
No. And it's been a learning thing because I actually thought I might be pretty good at it. And that's one thing that I've learned. I'll never learn how to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
But I do try my best to have a culture for people that they feel accepted. They can be creative. They can be a punk rocker. They can be an outcast. They can suck. They can learn. They can make mistakes. They can do it all. And they're sheltered to do it and grow. As long as they're a good, honest person, I will stick with them, you know, till the end. But it's been a learning process on how to do that correctly, that it's benefiting the human, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And the big picture.
Yeah, they're a big picture.
That's right. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Not the JPC picture necessarily.
Yeah, and that's what I figured out. That part is much less, definitely much less thankless because they won't even know if you're doing it.
No.
And I thought before, well, okay, I get to feel good today because it's pretty nice. No, you don't.
It doesn't work that way.
It works differently than that. And that's been a real interesting thing to learn about. Still learning.
What about owning, being a business guy? Because you clearly enjoy branding. You think about ideas for other people. You think about these, you know, you can't turn the switch off.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
You do it for yourself. You've done it for others, that kind of a thing. Owning these businesses and having these endeavors, what are some of your favorite parts of it? Is it the creativity?
Again, I'm going to go back to yes.
Okay.
There's like, I loved putting this place together, sitting on the graph paper, annoying the architects and the builders every day, and you know, having an old fashioned when it's like, yeah, It's just, I'm so lucky because my brain is pretty busy up there.
Yeah.
So that's when I feel a calmness is when I'm doing it a lot.
Yeah.
But it does come back down to, and it sounds like I'm over going on about it too much. It is the people. It's seeing the growth in humans, people buying in and growing in their own life over a period of, you know, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, conquering things. That, like, I'm gonna think about that when I'm all done. I'm not going to think about the bears on the ceiling.
Right.
That's just a couple whiskeys. Everyone thinks of that shit. it's the humans and their development. For me, that has been definitely very, very beautiful. Very cool.
That's an interesting thought because, you know, as creative as you are and as much of a, creator as you are, imagine you doing that in a white room where you just let your brain do its thing and you have access to anything that you want to do that, a replicator, whatever you want to call it, a 3D printer that would do anything that your mind desires or your heart desires.
Yeah.
If you don't have the people, it doesn't sound like you have the fuel.
Totally.
It's the collaborative experience as well.
Totally. Huh. Yeah. And it's the connections. I grew up being in bands, so I'm used to having a group, you know, and people, like I know a lot of people, but I don't got a lot of friends. Like, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people. I've got a couple that mm-hmm. I'm close with, but it's a pretty small group of people that come to my house, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm more comfortable in groups, and I think that I need that group to feel confident in myself. Mm-hmm. So if people aren't believing in themselves and in turn believing back in what I'm doing, it'd be a lonely, pointless journey. That's a different kind of person, right? That can be a very ego driven, self-centered person, which doesn't mean they're a bad person.
Nope.
Those people can be great people
yep.
and do great things, but that's not my DNA. I'm working on it though, because I'm told I got to get a bit more like that, but it's not my DNA.
You're learning how to take a compliment?
Yeah, we're getting there. I thought I looked good this morning because of my cauliflower diet.
And why are you on the cauliflower diet?
Because I'm going to Mexico. I want my wife to think I'm hot. Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
I appreciate the candor. I appreciate the puzzle that you are, because you are. You know, you're talking about, okay, well, not a lot of people have gone to my house. Two of the members of Proper Man have lived in your house.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
It is. It really, really is. It's so funny how your sense of worth is fascinating to me. I believe papers could be written. I'm not a therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whatever. I believe that your personality is the type where papers could be written, because there is so much pure enjoyment in life. There is so much creativity that has manifested itself in real things. These properties all have an energy, a personality on their own. You have collaborated with people and done that and taken much joy in that. Yet, whenever someone seems to compliment you on that, it's immediately pushed aside. And I'm fascinated by your definition of self-worth. A lot of guys out there at different age groups, what we talk about, these guys that are in their 40s, that's really where, middle-aged men is where this project is really focused on.
Yeah.
When it comes to your self-worth, scale of 1 to 10, where do you feel that your self-worth is?
Never thought of it before. I don't know. I'd have to ask other people that are around me what I'm worth.
I don't think that's how it works.
I know. No, I don't know.
Because everybody else would be saying you're a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm very proud of who I am. Okay. I like who I am.
Okay.
When I was younger, might get a little bit deep, but when I was younger, sure. I definitely, if I was into a doctor, I would be diagnosed with something that young people would get diagnosed with today. May it be like ADHD or depression or whatever it is, right? So I was very quiet, shy. I didn't talk like this when I was very young. I was too nervous. I used to do this thing where I'd be like, my mom would say, "Do you want some potatoes?" I'd say, "No, thank you.
Yeah,
I would talk to myself. Like I was a little different. And as I was getting older and a teenager, and I was trying to do my thing, I would go into very, very dark depression places. And it was scary. I used to think that I'm not going to live past whatever. I'm just going to go hard and play in a band. I did. I left, ran away from home when I was younger and playing in a bar band with spandex, long hair, and you know, bands and strippers all on the same floor. Sorry, Christy, it happened. And I lived a lifestyle. I was very quiet. I wasn't like a crazy guy, but I lived a pretty wild lifestyle because I was hiding in this stuff, right? Yeah. But where I'm going with it is I found later on that the way that I've medicated myself personally is to be doing a lot. I have to do a lot of things to get that balance where I have that Zen happiness. I have to be doing immense amount of work to get that balance. If I don't, I go into a very depressive type of place.
So if you're in a procrastinating slow space, you are in hell, essentially.
Yeah, it'll multiply very quickly. Yeah. And the person that you're talking to is a different person. So that's why when I'm doing all these things, everyone thinks, oh wow, how do you, it's like I have to. Like that's how I found my place in the world is to be doing a lot of things and stuff like that. So I don't know if I answered any question there whatsoever.
No. This is...
But that's something that I do realize that I will always find if I can ever talk to someone about. There's always different advices for things, but I was I went through a lot as a kid, like all kids do, especially nowadays. It's so tough. And you just got to keep. I kept myself very, very busy and very, very creative, and it definitely saved me for sure.
Well, I think about the kids nowadays, and I mean it's a different ball game because it doesn't. Like you grew up in small town BC, which, you know, again, pros and cons to everything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Pros and cons to when we grew up, pros and cons to the kids growing up now. But one of the issues that they have to deal with that we never had to, once they get a telephone, it doesn't go away. No. Like my grade four was my worst year. But I had the Cub Scouts. I had, you know, the Boys and Girls Club that I went to. So when I left school, there were other groups or people that I could deal with and have fun with and have a completely different experience with than if I had a bad time at that school.
Yeah.
Now, when they have a telephone, the moment they have a telephone,
I know.
It follows them everywhere and it doesn't turn off.
I know. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and there's nothing that, like, I've tried, like, the whole take the phone away thing as a dad, you know, like, because I'm old school. And none of that, in my experience, it can work.
Yeah.
It's just something to try to manage the best you can. But it is definitely, definitely hard and sad to see that it's going to take these young, beautiful kids so much longer to learn about themselves because they're distracted by some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not going to, like we all took, I'm still figuring myself out as it is.
Absolutely.
And I never had that. I was playing street hockey and hide and go seek and, you know, throwing eggs at people and doing things, mischievous, fun things as a kid, crazy shit, you know? I never threw eggs at people. I don't know why. I'm such a badass all the time. Cauliflower diet. I throw eggs at people. But I think for kids now, it's like they get wrapped up in that and they're just missing out so much on learning about themselves because it's just what other people are doing and trying to keep up with things. It's really sad. It's scary. It's scary.
Well, you've distracted yourself by building things. And I think that a lot of these kids they've got distraction handed to them, but it's not substance-based distraction.
Yeah.
Unless they choose it to be. And that's the good thing. At some point, you know, when they fall in love with something, they may choose to dive into it.
Yeah.
And if they do, like I think about people in my life, I think about you know my stepkids and the careers that they have, a big chunk of it was taught to them by YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, because if you do want to dive into something and learn it, you can do that without having to leave the small town to hang out with the different crowd or whatever to find yourself as a musician. But it's all a beautiful experience either way and it'll write itself.
Yeah.
But there are those pros and cons. And it is such a different world.
It is a different world. That's what it is. At the end of the day, it's just a different time, a different place and everything. It's just, I'm pretty old school, like proper man's nostalgic. I'm so obsessed with growing up as a kid in a small town. It's in my heart. And that's a special time, right? So I'm very obsessed with that part of my life.
Yeah.
So I get all weird on the phone thing and all that just because that way that I grew up in the town that I grew up in, I'm so lucky. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a great time to grow up.
That's where I want to talk about. I want to move to the music part of this because we have a lot of men now who are in this time and place of the world changing to what we just talked about, what we described, and many of them are terrified to whether they know it or not. You know, we bottle things down.
Yeah,
we're prone to bottle things down, and you know, we haven't gotten necessarily the release of those things that we bottled down. And, right. and music is, of course, one of the things yeah. that, I mean, it's obvious with every member of the band, and it's clearly obvious here that it's an outlet
yeah.
and it's something. And I think every man, you know, our age, but younger, the ones who can learn what their outlet is younger, that is a secret to life.
Oh,
having
yeah.
these outlets are just.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Yeah, it's everything. I'm trying to work with my children on that right now and finding their space and what they can do as an outlet. But yeah, the music is definitely that. And it didn't start off that way. I did it because Petri, the guitar player, was in a band with me growing up. And I was, I like to put it so I don't talk bad about myself, a bit of a control freak, but a really nice one. I was a nice control freak, but I knew what I wanted. And I was a songwriter and he was in the band. And he was always there for me. Petri's just an easygoing guy. He'll have a coffee. What do you want to do? He's no ego, no nothing. Yeah. So for so many songs and so many years, when we were very young, we're talking like 25 years ago, and I knew him before then, but he'd be supportive with me on songwriting. And I got to get these songs out, and we did pretty well. We got to tour Japan together. We won some awards, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. It's a great little band. Petri went through some stuff in life that it was. He went through a separation, mm-hmm. and he came out here. Him and his ex partner, they both moved out, and he stayed at the winery house up at First Estate, where it was the first place I really got to make wine. I got that place for $3 a year for 3 years. Another story. That was a great place. But what I wanted to do with him was just give back. I stopped music because this wine thing is like I got to learn it. I'm not that smart. Like I'm not. Like I didn't do good in school. Like I'm not, can't handle a whole, I can handle a lot of my brain, but it's gotta be in a creative way. Wine took a lot, it was a big responsibility. So the music stopped because all that energy was going into, I gotta learn how to do this.
Yeah,
I gotta get a day job, right? But when Petri came back, you know, it's a hard thing to go through. I wanted to do something to get his mind off of these things. So I'll shorten the story, but he would lay down some chords on the recording unit, then he'd go to camp. He's a scientist or something. We still don't know what Petri really is. He's just a really nice guy. But I'd be with these chords, and I would be okay. I got to put music to it. Started doing it, and I'm like, and I would sing in my old pop punk voice, and it brought back bad memories because the music business, any musician out there knows.
Yeah.
Tough world, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not going anywhere. And then one day, I'll admit it, I had a little bit too many scotches. And I just started singing with like this English drone. And I'm thinking, what's a style I haven't done yet that's fresh? And it would be New Wave, like The Cure, Joy
Division. Depeche Mode.
Yeah, all those guys. So I'm like, I'm just going to try this. Just me and Petra. And I did it. And I sent it to him. That's pretty good. And it just started snowballing. And all I ever wanted to do, because when you're a musician and you've jumped on that bed up and down when you're a kid, when you're 5 years old with yeah. your tennis racket, it doesn't leave. So even still, before we play shows, we're outside, we're hugging, teary-eyed. Let's kill him, guys. Let's do this. We got this. It's like the drummer. It's like he's ready to put his fist through concrete. Right? It's like you're playing Madison Square Garden. And I'm like, holy shit, guys. And I'm crying because that guy's crying. It's just 60 people. But we treat it like it's such a powerful thing, right? Didn't cry, really. Like I said, I'm pretty tough guy. I throw eggs at people.
That's right.
But where am I going with it? So when he come back, it was a thing to show these songs and these ideas and the goosebumps going. And he's like, oh, Parksies, man, we got something here, eh? I go, yeah, let me get you a drink. So he'd go get me a martini and make it extra dirty, Petri. Listen to it again. And everything sounds better with a sip or two. And like, yeah, we're really good, eh? We got something. We do, buddy. And we just kept doing that over and over and over. But the whole point of it was to get his mind off things and for me to give back for what he did for me. Which was getting out these songs. And I was going through things in my life with a separation back then. And he was there for me to get all this music out. Never a question, never nothing. So the whole point was just to do some stupid songs with this weird English accent, which was very strong back in the day. If you could hear it, it was like super prominent. Because I was insecure with my own voice. And I was just trying to get some shit going here to get Petri in a happy place. But that's how it started. And then it went from one thing to another. Travis showed up one day and I just said, go in the back room and take that Moog and do a keyboard line on this song called Converse and No Name. And that was at a different point in Travis's life. And he was nervous to come down and do it in front of the whole room. And I went up there with him, you got this. And he came down and everyone's like, jaw dropped. And it was layers. So the band, how it came together is quite beautiful. And it was never meant to be. It was just meant to do this thing. I said, well, I might put a little room in one of the wineries one day and you guys get paid some money. So just stick it out for 5 years and practice with me once in a while, pretty much, right? With most of the guys in the band.
Yeah.
And here we are, but we don't go on that. What it's turned into is a very strong brotherhood. for sure.
I love that about this. I've actually asked a couple of the guys, because, I mean, you know, and we've shown the Broken Hearts Club. Like, we've used the analogy of home ice advantage. You know, we're all fans. We're all hockey fans. You know, and I don't know of a band, and one of the band members even said, yeah, it doesn't mean no matter how big the band is, who they are.
Yeah.
Nobody has a home ice advantage like this.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, never mind not having to move gear and all that kind of stuff. Although they like that too.
No, they don't.
But they, right? Like now they don't have to move their gear. Yeah, they get to keep their place here.
Yeah.
All their stuff. It's their house.
Yeah.
It's the place that they get to call home.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I asked them. I've asked, like, did you think this was happening? Well, Jason talked about, you know, something, but nobody could envision this.
Yeah.
When did you envision this?
Oh, well, once Proper Men started getting going, mm-hmm. If you think about it and you listen to that old sound and you look at the room, it's all connected, right? Mm-hmm. It's all British, pubby, old. There's an old thing to it, even how we dress and all that vision came before. So to put this room.
So that was there years ago.
Yeah, that was there right away. When I started thinking these songs aren't that bad, and I love hanging out with Petri again.
Yeah.
And our connection, like Petri, we'll hang out. When we hang out, we don't talk. That's the best kind of friends for me. Like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Talk to you after the game. That's it. We're not like, I'm not social butterflies. Yeah. Music is what has brought us together. Like, we're buddies, right? Yeah. The whole band. But we don't sit around talking about, like, things that other people would. We're all cut from a different cloth a little bit. So the music is the connection. When I started seeing that and that beauty and, you know, Travis and working with him and then Nori coming in, we went through a few drummers and mm-hmm. Justin coming out. When the time Justin was in, I already said, I'm going to do this. But I wasn't sure because we couldn't find that last piece. And I used to be a drummer and it was a hard time finding that last person. And it wasn't the skill because there are good drummers and all. It was just the connection, the chemistry.
Yes.
And these are great guys, but sometimes everything doesn't go into place.
No, the alchemy of this band is astounding to me.
It is. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And usually that kind of stuff, I'm always worried that I've got to nurture it. And I go, well, that guy's going to be feeling this. So move him over there. Like, I'm always like the guide, a peacekeeper, trying to, you don't have to do it in this band. I can just come over here, my weird stressed out self every show and be all awkward. And they're like, you got it, buddy? And I'm like, yeah. I don't have to do anything because it's just, it takes care of itself. Because bands are like, it's like having... any band guy that runs a band knows it's like having like five wives, right?
Yeah.
And then if the band members have wives, it's like having 10 because you have to respect the whole thing. So for bands to be as cohesive and doing this as much as we are, sure, they like the room, but there's got to be a deeper connection for that to keep going. And we found it. It's very special.
Without a doubt, multiple members of the band have talked about how part of that alchemy is that you alluded to it. They all bring families to the table.
Yeah.
They all bring experiences to the table. Those families, those experiences take priority over the band.
Yeah.
And you all have that as a code. Like,
it's
an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that they all, I believe I have to check the tape, but every single one of them have talked about
awesome.
How special it is to them that's what this is.
It is.
It's their lives take precedence over the actual band itself and the music. And
exactly.
I mean, there's this overarching relationship that you have where the personal stuff is more important than the music.
Yeah, and that happened on its own. Like, I always knew the model, that would work in a perfect world. You can't make everything work like that. But I said, okay, I wanted to do a couple band dinners in the beginning. Hmm. But the connection and the wives connecting and how we've all connected is, it happened very organically. It's crazy. Like, we've been playing these songs a long time.
Yeah.
We still love playing them so much. It's not the songs, it's each other. It's that time up there together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a magic energy that you guys feel. And my contention every time I've heard that, whether I've said it out loud or not, is that, well, that shows in the music. Like, that's an extra layer or two of any song that you write or perform.
Yeah.
Because if you have a bass like that, that bass is going to create layers of depth that just wouldn't be created in other bands. And I'm not saying other bands. I've been a fan of bands where all the members hate each other. And that provides an energy too.
Totally.
It does. Yeah. But it just does not seem to be the energy of what Proper Man is.
Yeah.
Including the title of the band. Like the name of the band, Proper Man.
Yeah.
And all of you, none of you would, in fact, not even close, would any of you ever... you know, try and come across that you're perfect. In fact, none of you would. You're all the other, you're all the exact opposite. Yeah. The self-deprecation is crazy that you all have. But the band is called Proper Man, and it almost seems like, I don't want to call it like a war cry, but it almost seems like this is where we would like to get to. Like it's like a, the name of the band is the goal.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's just what it feels like. It's like you are all aspiring to be proper men while doing this.
Yeah, I think that is it. But me, like not understanding fully what words mean when I, and it's true. If you read the lyrics, sometimes like that word doesn't make sense, but it's got the right syllables.
Automatically, it sounds perfectly though.
Yeah. But the proper man thing, it does, that's a much cooler thing. And I guess in a way that is what it is. But in the beginning, it was just about doing this thing because I was kind of working with Petri, we named the band back then.
Yep.
We were really into just this whole, Petri and I just think a lot of our dads too. And the old school way of how it used to be and respect and just doing things on a handshake and just an unwritten thing that I think may have been a bit more in the older days than now in some instances. So we were really into that kind of stuff and then the whole imagery thing and all that. But that connection that you're saying is, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, that's cool. That's just what it seems to be building into. Yeah. And it's just, it's such a, it's
such
a cool thing.
I like the name more now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, it sure made sense for the, for this, for HeCast anyway.
Totally.
Like, it's like, oh my gosh, the band is even named Proper Man.
Yeah.
Everything is on but brand. And on brand is like, that's your middle name.
I know, but you just branded better than me. That's what's happening.
That's
what the end game is happening. It's just, it started out as something much more simpler.
Yeah.
Back then, right? Because we never really pictured doing this.
Like
I almost never did this at the end. I'm just like, I don't really got much money left. My midlife crisis, get on that, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm so grateful we did it. And it's work too. Like, this guy's got to drive all the way over the bridge most Saturdays.
Yep.
Even myself, like, you got life, you got things. And there's days where I'm like, I'm just nervous that I'm not going to do a good job, so that I'm stressed out all day. And like I say, it's not a, you know, at most we got 100 people in here. I won't say the real numbers because it's against the fire regulations.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. 100 people.
100 people. Less.
Less.
But it's a major thing every time we play. And sometimes it can be hard, like just open the door and walking in. Because I'm not also personally not the most super confident person. When I get on the stage, I have to leave behind. And the band makes sure I do it. Yeah. It's a different person. His name's Norm. It's my middle name. And Norm is the singer when he's on the stage. And that guy has to come out. And sometimes I do things that are stupid, like, and I get mad every time. Like, I'll talk to, hey, everybody, I was like, that's not like me. Or I'll say the F word.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the F word. But I have to break through my comfort to let go, to make myself vulnerable.
Yeah.
It takes a few minutes. And I stress about it every Saturday. It's not me. Like, when I was, back in the day, when I was had to do winemaker dinners, 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks of stress. I don't want to sound gross, but on the toilet stress. Like, I'm not doing good. I don't like that. I'm not good at that. And now, like, playing guitar and writing songs, great. Now I'm a singer.
Yeah.
And I got no guitar.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's nuts. I don't want to do up there. I'm flat my head. I'm trying to sing. It's very stressful. So I worry about it all day. But then when I get up there, it seems to be okay. And it is the band, but it's also the audience. Like, I look out, you know, you're always going to have the odd guy that might think we suck, which is fine. But there's a lot of smiles. There's a lot of happy faces. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that are my age or a little bit younger guys that are looking, and I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, look at that asshole up there doing what he wants to do. You know what I mean? In a good way. Look, he's up there. He's doing, he's doing it. He's living. He's got it. And hopefully, you know, that can kind of maybe, if that ever rubs off on someone, just to give her bullets. If I care too much or overthought things, even though it's weird because I am insecure. I didn't know if this place was going to work. I still like, I'm like that, but you might as well go for it. And when you open up that whole vulnerability of letting it all go and just jumping off and going for it, one thing I have learned is that people like that.
Yeah.
They're cheering for you.
Yes.
It's not like any of these
percentage are.
Yeah.
But we listen to the other percentage so many times, but the percentage that are cheering for you are there too, right?
I know. And it could be 50 that are cheering and the one person that's like, well, Jason can't sing. He's a fraud. That guy doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm like in the dumps forever, right? So you get scared of that. But at the end of the day, I'm learning more and more. It's just, you got to outweigh those numbers and, you know, you just gotta go for it. And that word vulnerable is the thing. If I didn't learn about that earlier on, I think maybe from doing the wine dinners, I wasn't good at them, and I just kind of opened up and went for it and was myself, which is kind of a weird, awkward, babbling duck like I am today with you. People loved it.
Absolutely.
They want to be my friend.
That's right.
They want to talk. They're like, okay, well, maybe they like me. If I just talk, just go for it. So I've done that with everything. It's just kind of do it, throw shit at the wall, give her bullets, and just hope it all works out. And when you put yourself there, people, they're cheering for you. I think more are than not.
Well, it's inviting. You know, when I see somebody pouring their heart out over something, and I mean, you think about this wine that you have slaved over for how long, you know, an entire season through all the different incarnations of the process.
Yeah.
And now you're presenting it to a room full of people and you're talking about the process and what it led to.
Yeah.
What they have right in front of them.
Yeah.
And the work that went into that.
Yeah.
You're giving of yourself
doing
that. And when somebody is up there doing that, a great percentage of people who are the recipients of that information now feel permission that they can open up. And I'm certain, we haven't talked about this beforehand. I wanted no pre-interview from this, you know, for this very reason that organically this stuff can come up. I'm certain that people would stand up after those things, come to you and start telling you personal stuff about them.
Yeah.
Because vulnerability invites other vulnerability.
Yeah. You're right. They are connected for sure.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's where I found, that's kind of where I found where I said that that's helped this. Even though, like, I was rocking, I could rock 3,000 people in a band playing guitar back in the day, jumping up and down Yahoo, go to do a winemaker's dinner in front of 50 people, couldn't sleep for 2 weeks. But then I learned how to do it where it's just like opening that whole thing up and just being real about it. That and finding that that worked. Well, maybe I can renovate a garage and call it the Hatch. Mm. Maybe I can put animal heads on a wall. I don't know. I don't have to overthink or have expectation of myself when I'm doing things. And I'm lucky for me, I've surrounded myself with really good band guys and good employees and good people that all my stupid shit looks good. That's all it is. You're just kind of going for it. That's a real thing. That did, you know, and I think that when you say that, because I remember doing those dinners and people coming up that were attached to it, because there was, all I had was passion. All I had, when I learned wine, I didn't know what I was doing. It was, I got into it because, quick, I won't get into too much.
Yeah, no, this is good.
Tour with my punk rock band and the band broke down and I had to make some money to fix the band. Went in there, worked in the vineyard for 2 weeks. The owner was sort of really crazy, bless his heart. Without that guy, they put me in the cellar. They let the winemaker go and I got my $8 raise to $8 and a set of keys for a Chevy and said there I was managing the place and they went back to Ontario. And I was left there to figure it out. That's scary shit.
How old were you that summer?
I'm not good with numbers.
Sure.
28?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. My wife will correct me later. but I spent like time in there learning, right? There wasn't a whole bunch of Google. There was no confidence. There was nothing. I just had to figure things out. And I learned by just kind of going for it, not scared to make mistakes. I remember putting a whole bag of low-fat skim milk in a thing of white wine because I did a test and it curdled and it brought the oxidation out and ripped it to the bottom. And I took it off and then I rebuilt it with like acacia wood chips and just crazy shit, you know? But if you don't do that, you don't try these things.
Fail forward.
And then I what I did where people took to me and where my career started to go is I just celebrated those things. I didn't try to say, well, you know, this is what I did.
You owned it.
I'm like, if you guys only knew, you're suckers because I don't know nothing. And this is why. And just kind of introduced that part of it. People's minds were like, blown because the wines were winning awards. They were doing things.
Yeah.
But it was just, I come from a different place of learning.
Yeah.
I didn't have anyone to teach me. And I had to kind of go through it all. So I think that helped. And it's, I think that just helped the whole journey, right? It allowed me to do what I'm doing now.
the courage that you show in doing that, and it's just you living your life. It's probably freeing, by the way, because you know, certain people learn certain ways, other ways, but most of us can probably relate to an experience where we learn a certain way and we were under the, whether it's as an employer or as a student, whatever, we're under the tutelage or the authority of somebody who teaches things completely different than the way that we learn it, right? Yeah. And you being given that freedom and taking on the responsibility of going, okay, well, I want to get something done, but you get to do it the way that you want to do it.
Yeah.
What a freeing concept that
That's
is.
That's how lucky I am.
Yeah.
Like to have that. There was no one else. There was a guy in the cellar helped me out back in the day, and he was actually better than I was pretty quick. but yeah, I got to have that experience. I'm so lucky. That's why I said in the beginning of the thing, like about wine and how it, I wouldn't say saved me, but it definitely, I don't know. I just don't know where I would have ended up.
Yeah. The trajectory it put you on, clearly.
Yeah, it found me for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's scary to think. So my like when you look at the little JPC logo, it's a barrel with wings and a crown. And the crown is representing, in my mind, it's probably wrong because most weird stuff these days with, you know, royalty. but to me, it was about the wine being the boss.
Oh,
and
wow.
The wings that were giving me something more in my life to do, getting me off the ground. But it was always based around that, right? The wine. Yeah. And it was also like, it was 7 years in that cellar on my own when I was learning. It was super lonely. The joke is I did have beautiful, well, I thought it was beautiful, long hair. And then it was gone after those 7 years.
It's ironic to say the least.
Yeah. But that was a lonely journey and lots of failures and successes, I guess you could call it. But yeah, I'm just so grateful for that day that person gave me a job to work in the vineyard. And
sounds like you're grateful for the failures too.
Yeah, more so for sure.
Isn't that something that I think
I remember those were more memorable. Like we have a bedpan at the hatch where all the awards go. So when we win a wine award, it goes in the bedpan. And there's some good awards in there. And it's nothing against the award people.
No.
It's just that's not what it's about.
And you can stay humble.
Yeah. And it's also a policy, and not a policy, but it's a culture in the company where, you know, and we're going to go back into them this year a little bit just to see how we do. We stopped doing those award things because, yeah, it's just a different view on the whole thing.
Yeah.
I got a call a couple of days ago, somebody wanting to get me to be a wine judge in Washington State. I guess they voted Crown of Thieves as one of the wineries to watch in Canada this year, or something fancy like that.
Yeah.
So speaking to the team, I was supposed to this year do a bit more interviews and get out there because I stopped doing them and just want to hide and do my thing.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's like pulling teeth getting to this day happening.
Yeah. Now I'm talking. I can tell I haven't talked for 5 years.
Let it out. Unleash the hounds, buddy.
Sounding ridiculous. Talking about eggs and shit. Where was I? But yeah, they went, yeah. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm the right judge. I said, but, because all these fancy winemakers from all over the States, if I can have a Negroni beside me while I'm tasting the wines, I'll consider being a judge. And they just, I didn't know whether to take me serious or not. It was just a joke.
Yeah.
But to have a cocktail there. But I just, but the point is that whole vulnerable thing, that I get to say those kinds of things and make people laugh and be that kind of person that is just, that's what my mind's saying. Like, if someone asks you something, you might be saying something different in your mind.
Totally.
I get to say whatever comes
to my
mind.
You let it out. Yep.
And I'm so grateful for that. And that came from learning about that whole vulnerable moment of doing these winemakers' dinners. Now, that allows me, even though I was a musician first, to get on that stage and sing. And I learned that from getting through those things.
I appreciate you talking about, you know, because we're going to get to Proper Man more here. But I appreciate you giving us this context of how you think, because it really is an amazing mind that you have with the achievements, yet the self-confidence thing, and you've done a really good job of kind of explaining that a little bit. Fronting a band, I hope I'm not telling tales out of school here. Please admonish me if I am. You have an amazing presence on stage. I've watched you rock the house multiple times. You have fans that sing every single word with you and are like, whether it's their fifth time or their 50th time of you fist bumping them while you're singing, or moving in and letting them take a selfie with you, or letting them sing a lyric, or whatever. You clearly have this a massive, massive, massive presence. Yet one of the cool. first things that you say to me, the first time I see you play Bloodless live, you know, you're, first off beforehand, oh God, you're going to see me play it for the first time. You didn't like that. And then second, was it okay? I'm astounded by that because you clearly know how to rock the house. And you've been doing it for a long time, and yet you still don't know.
Yeah. Like, even when you're saying it, I'm getting a little emotional because I'm like, really? Like, and and that's not a fake thing.
I know it's not. That's what, yes.
Because I don't, I always think if I could, you know, stick on this cauliflower diet, lose some weight and get more confidence and grow my fucking hair back, that proper man has a chance. Because that's how my head goes, right? And I think that at night, okay, we got some good songs here, but I got to get rid of my pickle tits here. And I got to get better looking and learn how to deal with a crowd because I don't feel I do it all. But maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's a good thing.
That might be part of the charm, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, even though I don't think you say that to everybody, what you said to me, but you know, it's there somewhere and maybe that comes out as well. I don't know either.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. I do also want to make my band proud. You know what I mean? Like, so I am up there and I am doing it. I love them so much and I want to make them proud of me because I am. And I'm not saying this to be the weird, vulnerable guy.
No.
I'm the weak link for sure. The band is so freaking talented. I am not the best singer in the world. So I have to give everything I have to be remotely close to these guys.
Okay.
So I put everything I have into every show for them. I have to. These guys can come and just kind of go through the motions and still blow everybody away. I'm definitely, I'm proud of myself as a songwriter. And I'm you know, and everything, and being creative. But talent-wise, I'm not really born to be a singer. So maybe that comes across a bit, and that gives a kind of energy because the band's also so good. So their energy's feeding off me. Whatever, if it's working. It's working.
Well, I think about it's so funny you talk about being the best singer, and that's so funny because it's a relative term.
Yeah,
I mean, if Bocelli's in the room here doing their thing, okay, that's fine. But I would much rather. An off-tune Axl Rose.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know what I mean? And the one thing about you, and I don't know if this translates or not, the thing I love about you, the thing that I personally am inspired about you, is that you go up and just be you, and you maybe turn up the volume sometimes. Maybe you turn yourself up to 11 while you're singing, but you're just going up and being you. You're not trying to be somebody else.
Yeah.
Even when you're singing with an English accent,
It is true, yeah.
Even though you're not trying to be someone else, you're just trying to be you singing with an English accent.
No, you're totally true. I had tried to explain that to people, even like music industry people that were listening to the songs and reaching out, and they just didn't understand that. But to me, it was 100% real.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do you mean you can't get it? Like, the English people sing with an American accent.
Oh,
you can't tell they're English.
Yep.
I couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
It's just a different way of looking at it. But
What we're talking about here today, we think about guys that might be listening to or watching this, and we think about living lives of authenticity.
Yeah.
Being who they truly, truly are. Even if that person inside is something that they think the world may not appreciate, may think is weird, may think is, and I mean, I know you even feel it now, because of the success that you've had in the Valley, a lot of people here know who you are. You know, again, I'm not trying to overstep anything by or reveal anything too private, but like people who make assumptions, and they are in that percentage of people who like to throw stones or eggs. That gets to us too, but that being said, to the guys who aren't living their lives right now, safe to say those stones, those eggs, they're worth it.
Yeah, are they worth it?
Are they worth living that life of authenticity that you seem to be?
100%.
That seems to be who you are. Authentic is one of the words that I would use to describe you near the very beginning of the description list. Right. Authentic would probably be one of the top words for you.
Yeah.
And again, not perfect.
Yeah.
First to admit, not perfect, but authentic. You're in your zone when you're being as authentic as you can be.
Yeah.
A lot of guys right now aren't being authentic. They're not in the job they want. They're not in the relationship they want. They're not in the whatever.
That's a hard thing because I learned and I get it. Trust me, because the whole, like I said, when I was a kid, very insecure, shy, had dark places and everything. when I open myself up and just stop. It's not that I stop caring. Mm-hmm. It's not like I don't care what people think. I'm not small little muscles here because I totally care. But I've set myself up in my life to do it exactly how I want to do it in that moment all the time.
Right.
And I do. It could be in a grocery store. It could be anywhere. I just don't have to overthink or try to do an expectation to anything. And I'm getting away with just being exactly who I want all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
isn't that freeing?
It's very freeing, and it's very beautiful, and it's not worth fighting that. It's not worth the effort going in, hiding that. It just, like, not in a negative way, but life is short.
Yep.
And I think when you find that place, the whole world can start to look different. I wake up, my favorite things, and I still get it, like, it's just waking up in the morning and looking outside. It's my favorite. It's not looking at the winery. It's just, there's just a feeling of like, because everything is just like, so there's no, I don't know how to explain it. There's no preconceptions. There's no, I don't know. I don't know how to explain that one. That sounds weird.
Cut that out. Well, we're not going to, because when I married my wife, I think you and I actually view the world similarly in a lot of ways. And one of the things that she had a hard time understanding, when I wake up, every morning, for the most part, I look outside, no matter what the weather is, and I say, it's a brand new day.
Yeah.
And I get excited about the brand new day and the possibilities of that brand new day.
Yeah.
It seems like it might be along the same vein as what you were talking about.
It is. I think it's also a sense of being super grateful. Mm-hmm. And very just happy. Like, again, like, and it's not of where I am or what I'm, it's just being here.
Yeah.
You know? And then when you live your day like that, you're living every day, like, live the day to the fullest. Like, every time I sing, it's definitely on my head. Sing like you're never going to sing again.
Yeah.
Like, how lucky you get to sing.
Yeah.
How lucky that you get to wake up and go to a job and look at your family. Those simple things are massive. And I think when you live your life with lots of vulnerability and just all out there, they're all magnified, maybe. I don't know if that
makes... But yet, once a week... Say you're doing this once a week, and sometimes it's more than that, but once a week you're doing that, you're also psyching yourself up to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's another secret to life. If you do something hard, if you do something that makes you nervous to stretch your comfort zone, that leads to, you know, usually if the comfort zone is here, usually the fun stuff or the good stuff is out
here. Yeah, you're right.
Right? Totally. And you do that, you know, you constantly are challenging those things about you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's a secret too. I think there are guys out there who may not be challenging themselves. Maybe they're bored. Maybe they're, you know, and if you do something that's hard, whether it's hard here or whatever that is.
Yeah, you know, there is that. That's the reward. That's the end game.
Yeah.
And I never think it. I never get tired of it either, though. Like, I never think it when I'm coming over here, I'm going to get that. But it happens every time. And yeah, you forget it even happens. It just happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's... I appreciate this so much. We're getting close to the end here, but I gotta ask you about. You know what? I want to talk about the writing process first, and then I'll ask you about Bloodless. But I'm gonna ask you about Bloodless because I love that song.
Thanks.
And I cannot wait to dive into that a little bit with you. It's been fun diving into it with the perspectives of all the other bandmates, but that one in particular. When you have written songs along the way, have they always been therapeutic, autobiographical, whatever words, like dealt personal? Have they always been that, or have there been times where you're like, no, I'm going to write this? Like, I think of the Broken Hearts Club song, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I believe written before this. Did you write it after this place, or was it written before this place?
Before I named it.
Yeah.
Yeah, before I named this place. The song came before the speakeasy.
Yeah, which is, again, are you a prophet? Like, I don't understand, because it is the perfect song for this venue.
Yeah.
And yet written beforehand. But anyway, like, when you write songs, is it sometimes with intention of, oh, I'm going to write a song about this, or is it always delving things?
It's actually where this is not going to make me look like a good songwriter. Okay. I can't write that well on an actual topic most of the time.
Okay.
It's written off of feelings and words that resonate with me and what that feeling is.
Okay.
And where I'm proud of myself, I think if I focus too much on the topic and that, it would not have a spectrum of views from different people.
Yes.
I think the best songs can mean different things to different people instead of being one-dimensional.
Yes.
So, but I'm not doing that on purpose. It's not like I'm this cool know-it-all songwriter, because I'm not. It's just the only way I know how to write. So it's taking words and feelings line by line. And then usually when I'm done, it could be about a frog and end up about a brick. And like, how do I now change some things so that it's a frog and a lizard? Gotcha. Now it's closer. And right. Now people can take that to be what they want it to be.
Okay.
And there's lines and there's feelings. There's some specific songs that are really closer to home than others. There's songs that I'm pretending that I am Nori when I'm writing them. There's songs where I'm pretending I'm Travis in a line. There's songs where I'm pretending,
wow.
They don't know that. But I try to do that because I don't think anybody really wants to hear my full story. They want their own. So if I'm taking it from different elements, it creates something that people can make their own. And I'm very, at the end of the day, I am proud of the words. That's the one thing that I am proud of, and no one really knows any of them. I don't think the band knows all the words all the time. But I put a lot of thought into words, and I like what I've written as far as words. I think I could sing better on some days. But yeah, I don't know if I answered that correctly.
I'm not, no. And I'm not surprised that you would say,
it's all over the map.
I love that you at least have that. Like if there was one thing that I wanted to do today, it's to give you some compliments that you'd be able to accept. And the fact that you're able to even say, I've got some satisfaction in the writing that I do.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to talk about Bloodless. I want to talk about this new stuff that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Your catalog's awesome. Everybody who watches this or listens, I highly recommend go to the Spotify's or the Apple Music's of the world or whatever. Search for Proper Man. It's worth the search. It's awesome. Of every era that has come out, every song, every single, all these things that have come out are worth putting in your ear holes for sure. And down, not just through the ear holes, but into the heart as well.
Thanks,
there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful stuff that's eclectic and all over the place. I love your band. But I want to talk about Bloodless.
Okay.
And as this project has bloomed organically, it bloomed right alongside of the production of Bloodless.
Yeah.
Which is a song that started 7 years ago.
Yeah, Travis. Yeah.
You know, and I love that. I love the song. I love that it's very, very clear that there are some primal feelings that are involved in this song.
Yeah.
Can you please talk about it from your perspective? Get as personal or as surfacey as you want. But just
we'll go in the middle.
Okay.
The song started from Travis musically. As far as the words go, there is a feeling, the last two songs, the one called The Fort, where they're both kind of written lyrically at the same time. There was something in my life, my family's life, that was pretty sad. We lost somebody very close to us. Those details are more left, so it was a very heavy situation for the whole family. It was pretty traumatic. And the person that we lost, Proper Man, was his favorite band. So it's a pretty deep conversation. And I've written probably 30 songs that are directed exactly on that topic. Like, you know, I said, I don't do that. I did. But those are for me. Those are mine. They're not, I don't want to share them with people.
They're more like journal entries or something.
Yeah.
Or a diary entry.
It's my therapist, right? Writing songs.
Yeah.
And maybe one day I'll show some people, but those are put aside. But as I was doing those songs and doing that, these two songs were being written. They're both have got elements of that that in them, in these songs. Mm-hmm. Bloodless, though, part of it, the words do come from a place of, remember I said earlier about 50 people going AA and that one person that doesn't like it, beating you down. The song is about... It's hopefully a bit of a message to people out there just to not give up on and believe in what they're doing and to focus on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So my whole point of that song is just not listening and going after the things with all of my heart, not letting anyone get in the way of that. Mm-hmm. But there's obviously another level of the primal, the emotion and the energy. I'm singing to that, but the words are a different message. So it's hard to explain. It's very, is that ADHD when you are a little bit?
I would call it layered.
Okay. So it's very layered. The energy and the heart and the thing that people say they get goosebumps off of.
Yeah.
It's not the words. It's where I'm singing from.
Yes.
But the words on not all of them. Some of them is to do with that. But most of the words are about the journey and the negativity and when people are trying to bring you down, when you're trying to do something. It's a bit of a message to that.
Look the other way.
Yeah.
So being here, I'm honored, by the way, that I got to see you perform that song live for the first time.
I'm glad you were there.
I'm
glad you were there because you saw it. It'll only get better.
Here we go.
No, it's true. It was our first kick at the can. But I know that song meant something to you.
Very, very much so.
When I was up there and I sang it with my back to the crowd, it wasn't being
you
rude.
I
was really nervous. And I will always sing with that song to my back to the crowd because a few people said it was powerful.
You will? Oh, well, and yes.
And it's not a thing of me being, I'm singing that song for me.
Yeah.
Of where it comes from.
Yeah.
And that's only ruins someone's business. So I'll always have my back to them.
But I'm looking the other way.
Yeah. But I hope the words are someone's business. I hope it does. Someone can listen to that song, get the message out of it.
Oh my God, does it ever do that for me? I see that, you know, and I understand why there'll be a time where that is the show opener for a while and all of that until you figure it out. To me, when I think about you guys seeing you on stages, whether it's this one or bigger ones or whatever that looks like,
yeah.
To me in my heart, that's the song you finish with.
Really?
Well, yeah, because it sends you out into the night,
yeah.
Wanting to say screw you to anything,
yeah.
Anything, any forces that of whatever it might be, whether it's words, whether it's oppression, whatever
yeah.
it is,
yeah.
And doing the other thing instead, and walking in the other direction from it.
Right.
And to me, that I mean, what better of a message could you give to somebody?
Yeah.
And that's what it means to me. And I mean, I can't wait to see the evolution as it continues.
Yeah.
With that song and how it, you know, what happens with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we kind of close it up, I've got an idea about how to close things up, but this project, talking, you know what He Changed It's all about. It's about being a place for guys can help being them, can be themselves and negotiate their way through this world here. You were an insta yes the moment, you know, you were approached with this, the idea of this, us being able to profile.
Yeah.
With the greater message being men's mental wellness.
Yeah.
Did you want to comment on anything about that before we finish up with the thing that I was thinking of here?
I don't know what to say to it too much.
Okay.
I really don't. But what I do know, the basics of it, when I talk to you and your sincerity to do some good things for people, and I've struggled. I have my own struggles every day with mental health. I've had them since I was a little boy, and I just build stupid shit to fix it. It doesn't mean I don't have it. And so when I heard you talk, I appreciated it. And anything I could do to even just not even just hang out with you and maybe give anything I can to show you appreciation for what you're doing. It's commendable. It's very cool.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you very, very much. You know, it's funny how people could be labeled, and we label people. Once you get to a certain place, though, and you've built things that are big enough, you might get labeled as eccentric. But really, at the end of the day, I think all of us have that desire to be eccentric because we are such individuals.
Yeah.
Taught to conform.
Yeah.
And the one thing, this is how I kind of want to finish off a little bit, is the thing about proper man, to me, it is a statement, even though you come up wearing the formal wear of a certain time period and all of that stuff, to me, proper man is about not conforming and being yourself.
Yeah.
And the things that are important to you are the priorities. You know, the things that are really important to your heart are the priorities, not the things that everybody else says that should be your priorities.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
And when you do that, good things can happen.
Yeah.
That's when you start to get results and move people and do good things.
Yes.
It's when you're oblivious to the rest of it and you do that. And that is exactly what happened. And it happened organically. You said that word earlier. It really did. Yeah.
I'm glad you're in the world. I'm glad you're in the world that is close geographically to my world, because you have inspired me in so many ways. You have a group of guys who are all inspired by you. We have the video footage that they have said that they are all inspired by you.
It's just because I give them whiskey.
Not through the inspiration of spirit, but through the inspiration of who you are and what you do. And again, you know, when you include you, you know, 3/5 of the band have lived in your house at some point. Like, it's just, it's a beautiful thing. This is a beautiful band. I can't wait to see what the future lays in store for how I can connect with you guys, whether it's just as a fan or other things. This kind of thing, what's going to happen with the future for you is just magical to me. And I love the fact that I got a chance to talk to you at this time and this place. He Changed It thanks you on behalf of He Changed It. Thank you very, very much for understanding the vision of kind of what we had here. Thank you for being, I want to use this word very carefully because some people look at it as a religious word. I talked about it earlier, but it is a testimony. You all are a testimony for other guys who are out there that may not be living the lives that they want to live, mm-hmm. but it's worth it. It's worth doing the work. And we've had many examples of that through this project it's worth it.
Yeah. I wish I could speak better to that feeling, but what you're saying there, I wish I was better spoken, but yeah, I don't know how to say it, because that is everything that I am today, which is nothing. It's just whatever. But life is going good, but it's only because of that reason.
Yeah.
And I can't speak to it as well as you can. I can feel it very strongly, but anybody out there that, you know, those kinds of things are holding them back, or they have insecurities of who they are because for whatever reason, if it's something they're taught or what they think it should be, it's just everything just opens up when you just let it all go. Yeah. It's very cliche, but kind of not give a shit.
Yeah.
And just be good.
Yeah.
Just try to be good and do good things for people and not worry about, you know, anything coming back your way or anything. Just kind of going for it. I'm not making any sense.
You're making all the sense. Thank you for living it. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for giving people, permission to look the other way on these things. So thank you for that, Jay. I love you. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Right on.